Numbers chapter 10 this morning. The message title from one of the songs that we just sang, Marching On. We're still at Mount Sinai, but this is the last day we can say that. Numbers chapter 10. Let's read the chapter, and we'll look into it this morning. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Make two silver trumpets of hammered work. You shall make them, and you shall use them for summoning the congregation and for breaking camp. And when both are blown, all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the entrance of the tent of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the chiefs, the head of the tribes of Israel, shall gather themselves to you. When you blow an alarm, the camps that are on the east side shall set out. And when you blow an alarm the second time, the camps that are on the south side shall set out. An alarm is to be blown whenever they are to set out. But when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow a long blast, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets. The trumpet shall be to you for a perpetual statute throughout your generations, and when you go to war in your land against the adversary who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. On the day of your gladness also, and at your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. They shall be a reminder of you before your God. I am the Lord your God. In the second year, in the second month, on the 20th day of the month, the cloud lifted from over the tabernacle of the testimony. The people of Israel set out by stages from the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. They set out for the first time at the command of the Lord by Moses. The standard of the camp of the people of Judah set out first by their companies, and over their company was Nashan, the son of Amminadab. Over the company of the tribe of the people of Issachar was Nethanel, the son of Zuar. Over the company of the tribe of the people of Zebulun was Eliab, the son of Helon. And when the tabernacle was taken down, the sons of Gershon and the sons of Merari, who carried the temple, set out. The tabernacle set out. And the standard of the camp of Reuben set out by their companies, and over their company was Eliezer, the son of Shedeur. And over the company of the tribe of the people of Simeon was Shalumiel, the son of Zerushaddai. And over the company of the tribe of the people of Gad was Eliasaph, the son of Deuel. Then the Kohathites set out, carrying the holy things, and the tabernacle was set up before their arrival. And the standard of the camp of the people of Ephraim set out by their companies, and over their company was Elishama, the son of Ammihud. And over the company of the tribe of the people of Manasseh was Gamaliel, the son of Pedasur. Over the company of the tribe of people of Benjamin was Abidan, the son of Gideoni. Then the standard of the camp of the people of Dan, acting as the rear guard of all the camps, set out by their companies. And over their company was Ahiezer, the son of Amishaddai. And over the company of the tribe of the people of Asher was Pagiel, the son of Okran. And over the company of the tribe of the people of Naphtali was Ahira, the son of Enan. This was the order of march of the people of Israel by their companies when they set out. And Moses said to Hobab, I don't know about you, but I'm just thankful that's not my name. Hey, Hobab. Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we're sitting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us. We'll do good to you. The Lord has promised good to Israel. But he said to him, I will not go. I will depart to my own land and to my kindred. And he said, please do not leave us, for you know where we should camp in the wilderness, and you will serve as eyes for us. And if you do go with us, whatever good the Lord will do to us, the same we will do to you. So they set out from the mount of the Lord, 3 days' journey. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them, 3 days' journey, to seek out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was over them by day, and whenever they set out from the camp. Whenever the ark set out, Moses said, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. And when it rested, he said, Return, O Lord, to the 10,000s of Israel. We come to this passage, we're reminded that new beginnings are a time to evaluate. We come to the 2018, you probably have looked over your life just a little bit. We were sitting at the table this past week, and My wife handed out a sheet of paper to us and said, okay, here's some things to be able to think through, some questions to ask yourself, and it stimulated some conversation. Where have we gotten some victories over the course of this past year? What are some things you want to work on? What are some goals? What are some books you want to read? And so on and so forth. New beginnings are a time to evaluate, a time to evaluate what we do, a time to evaluate how we should do it, and then a time to evaluate why do it at all. Is this something, as we work through as a family, as we work through as a church, as you work through as an individual, why do I do what I do? How am I supposed to get it done? What is it that I'm supposed to be doing? That's what new beginnings are for. God has kept his people at the Mount Sinai, and he's kept them there for a new beginning. He brought them out of Egypt, and he constituted them as a people. He drew up a constitution. He said, this is how we're going to play the game. This is how we're going to do life. We're going to do it together. I'm going to do it with you. But in order for me to do it with you, you've got to understand that there's certain things that have to be in place to guard you against my holiness and to guard my holiness from your sin. And so he sets up a border patrol, if you will, of priests who bring morning and evening sacrifices to this God, reminding Israel of its sin and of the holiness of the God who's in their midst. He's given them laws that are meant to help them to look like this holy God, to reflect him before the people. He's called them to Mount Sinai, he says, to bring them to himself. And as he brings them on to the promised land, the threat was that he wasn't going to go with them because of their failure. But Moses, in a supreme act of intercession, goes up on the mount and asks that God reveals his glory and calls on God to go with his people, that being the mark of demarcation upon them. How will the nations know that we belong to you and you belong to us, except for the fact that you go with us? God says, I will go with you. I will go with you. So God is going with his people. He's moving them forward. He's told them what to do. In fact, he's been so gracious as to tell them how to do it. Now, some of those weren't our favorite chapters as we've gone through these past 3-4 books in the Old Testament. But through it all, I hope we've gotten a little bit of an understanding of why do we do this at all? Why is Israel looking the way it looks? Why these feasts that look so goofy? Why these sacrifices? Why these priests? Why these ceremonies? Why? And the whole point is because there is a God who's spoken and who's called out a people for himself so that he might redeem his creation back to himself, so that all nations on earth might be blessed. We've just celebrated Christmas. This is a good time, as we turn the calendar, for us to ask ourselves, what are we doing? What are we doing as a church? What are we doing as families? What are we doing as individuals? Why are we doing it? And if it's worth doing, how are we going to do it? Because if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. And as we look into this section, we're going to see that there's three ways that we can begin the new year well. It's the same way that Israel starts its new beginning. As they've turned the calendar, 19 days after they've taken the census, a full month and a week after they've celebrated Passover, so they've had that second Passover, they've made allowance for that, and now it's time to go. It's time to begin. The first way that the people start is that they're summoned to a pilgrim adventure of wandering, warfare, and worship. God starts out there speaking to Moses, and he says, make 2 silver trumpets. Now, these aren't the shofar. These aren't the ram's horns. These are silver trumpets. They have to be made probably by Oholiab or maybe Bezalel. They would be the ones, the artificers, who would have worked as craftsmen in this trade. Make 2 silver trumpets, make them of hammered work, and you shall use them for summoning the congregation and for breaking camp. And then he starts to give a little bit of information as to how this is supposed to be used. But the idea of these trumpets is to get the people's attention, to summon them, to call them into Moses' presence so that Moses, as the mouthpiece of God, can give them the word of God, the direction of God, the will
of God. Call them. Bring them to yourself, and then you're going to use them to summon them, and you're going to use them to disperse them, to break up camp, to call them in and to send them out. That's the idea. So coming, going, use these trumpets. And as they're leaving, as they're breaking camp from Mount Sinai, they're going to start what God told them they're going to do. He's been telling them for a while, you're going to go to the promised land. And they've been looking forward to this. For a year and 2 months, they've been looking forward to making this trek to the promised land. They've gotten a little way into the journey, a significant way. They're no longer in Egypt. They're out in the wilderness. Now they're breaking camp, and they're beginning what God called them to do. Here we are. We're on the first week of 2018. We can't go back to 2017, as familiar as that was, as comfortable as it was. We're already into a new year. We're beginning the journey, and God's going with us. But what's it going to look like? Well, it's going to look like an adventure of wandering. You're going to go places this year that you've never been before. Remember, this whole generation of people, in fact, for 400 years, they've been in the land of Egypt. Egypt, though it was hard, was familiar. In fact, we've seen once already that when things got going tough, what did they do? They said, Moses, let's go back to Egypt. It was familiar. God says, listen, we're about to leave the place that you've become comfortable at. We're going to cover territory that you've never covered before. It means there's going to be some wandering. I'm going to take you places that it doesn't look like I know what I'm doing. Okay, but remember, I get to see the whole picture. You're following from down here. You ever been following somebody who's leading you in a vehicle, and they get out just a little bit in front of you, and all of a sudden you lose sight of them, and then you're wondering, I hope I can catch up to them. Because I have no clue where in the world I'm going. There's one time I was following my boss from Owatonna over to Mankato. We had a job, and I didn't know where we were going, and it was raining that day. He says, I'll just follow you. He had this nice white truck. I was following him in my old blue 1980 Ford Thunderbird. And we get out on the road. It's raining. Then it really starts raining. I flip on my windshield wipers, and nothing happens. And it really just starts pouring. And I'm all of a sudden, I'm like up by his bumper at 60 miles an hour, cruising on these roads. I'm like, oh, God, this is stupid. What am I doing? But I can't lose him. I've got to stay close. So the whole time, I'm driving in the rain, squinting. I was so tired, just 45 minutes drive. I was ready to be done. I was ready to clock out by the time we got there. He said, what's wrong with you? Said, nothing. Windshield wipers didn't work. God says, listen, we're going to go places that you've never gone before this new year. Don't get panicky. Just follow. We're going to go places that aren't going to be comfortable this new year. We're going to be camping in the wilderness. We're going to be camping in the desert. And surprise, surprise, there's going to be people who oppose you. There's going to be things that come up this year in your life that are going to feel like warfare. It's not going to be lounging on the couch sipping hot chocolate and eating bonbons. He said, that's not what I've designed this year for. This isn't promised land yet. This isn't the land of milk and honey. This isn't the place where you get to inherit houses that you didn't build, wells that you didn't dig, olive groves that you didn't plant, grapevines that you haven't tended. This isn't that yet. We'll get there. But this year, this journey is going to look like wandering to places you've never been, and it's going to feel like warfare that you must engage in. If you don't engage in the battle, you will lose the battle. If you don't engage in the battle, you will lose the battle. In fact, if you fight the battle by yourself, you will lose the battle. So the resolution, day one, new calendar year. This year I will... James says, hey, listen, before you get so cocky and say, this year I will go to such and such a place, buy, sell, trade, and make a profit. He said, maybe shouldn't you say, if God wills, by God's grace, this year I will. You must engage in the warfare or you'll lose it, but you can't engage in the warfare by yourself or you'll lose the battle. That's why the last one is really the most important one. This summoning, this calling together. I'm calling you to go. I'm calling you to fight. I'm calling you to worship. I'm calling you to remember who you are as a people, that you're mine. I'm calling you in so that I can send you out. Because the most important thing that you can do is to worship well. If you worship well, you'll fight well. If you worship well, you'll follow well. If you worship well, you're going to get safely to where I intend to take you, the land of blessing, the land of opportunity. But all of it is contingent upon learning to worship. That's what these trumpets are for. The wilderness journey begins as a corporate adventure of wandering. As such, God's people must come together to follow. Look at verse 2. Make two silver trumpets of hammered work, you shall make them, and you shall use them for summoning the congregation. Up in verse 7, when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow a long blast. This long blast was the call for people to come. It's for the whole congregation. Verse 3, when both are blown, all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the entrance of the tent of meeting. A long blow with two horns means everybody come. Y'all come. My favorite camp song of all of us. Y'all come. Okay? That's the idea. Two trumpets, long blast, everybody come. If it was just one trumpet, verse 4, if they blow only one, then just the chiefs come. And the chiefs will then convey my message to the people. They'll give the direction. But the idea is it serves as a corporate summons. So that means when the trumpet blows, Chris Rice comes from his sector. Charlie comes from his sector. Terry Briner comes from his sector. It doesn't matter where you are in your proper place where God said you're supposed to camp on different sides of this tabernacle. When the trumpets blow, everybody's supposed to come and to come together. Bringing them into the fact that I'm not doing this life by myself out in left field. Out in right field, forgotten and left out of the action. I'm not there by myself. Even though that's where I'm stationed by myself, I'm not playing this game by myself. He brings us in together and says, listen, corporately, I'm calling you to a journey, to journey together. It served as a corporate summons. It served as a corporate signal. In verse 5, he says, now don't sound a long one, sound a short one. Verse 5, when you blow an alarm, the camps on the east side don't come in, they go out. Verse 2, he said, not only will you summon the congregation, but you'll use these for breaking up the camp. So in verses 5 and 6, they set out, they go out. The trumpets call, boom, they come in. The alarm, the short blast, the word has the idea of a stab. Bump, bump, bump. Boop, boop, boop. Time to go. We're sending them out. God says, I'm calling you in to send you out. But remember this, you do it together. I don't know how much you felt a part of something bigger than yourself this past year, but chances are this new year will give you plenty of opportunities to feel very plenty alone. You're going to need to feel that you're connected to something larger than yourself. That's what Sunday is all about. It says in the book of Hebrews, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. But every week, come, 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 because you need to know that you're a part of something bigger than yourself, because you've been out there in left field, right field, all by yourself, and you've been watching the left fielder get all the balls. You've been watching the shortstop play the game and play the game well, and the one ball that flew your direction, you dropped, and you tripped over your shoelaces. And you feel like an idiot. The trumpet blows. Y'all come. because we're doing this journey together. That means you got to show up. You got to get there because you got to get your batteries recharged. But you know what else? You have to show up because the person who just tripped over their shoelaces needs you to show up to be reminded that, hey, it's okay. You're still a part of the team. I remember one time when I tripped over my shoelaces. The only thing is I was blowing a bubble at the time and it exploded in my face. Okay, you could tell these stories of encouragement. You've got to be there. But folks, if you don't show up, you show up by yourself, there's no encouragement, is there? He says, listen, we're doing a journey. We're going to do this journey together. Whether it's the long blast, everybody coming in, or the short blast, everybody going out, the reminder is that we're doing this together. The wilderness journey begins as an adventure, not just of wandering, but of warfare. And as such, the God's people must come together to fight. We're in a battle. We're engaged in a conflict. And it's not just a ball game. We are fighting, and not against flesh and blood. But he says, you better believe that you're fighting against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Dan's been going through that study on Wednesday night of spiritual wickedness in high places. If it feels like you're in a battle, it's only because you are. You are. And so he calls them together as God's people. They come together to fight. Now, there's going to be leaders, but the leaders in this conflict are based upon the supreme leadership of this holy God. Look at verse 8. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets. They're going to be the ones who give the directives. Come in, go out, come in, come in, come in, come in, go out. Okay. But it's not the leadership of the priests that's primarily important. The leadership of God is why these priests are so important. They're the go-betweens. They're the ones that are telling the people what to do, not because of who they are, but because of what God's called them to be, to do as priests. So there's leaders in this conflict. There's timing. He says the timing is based upon their identity as a holy people. Look at verse 8 again. The priests shall blow the trumpets. The trumpets shall be for you a perpetual statute throughout your generations. Listen, this blowing of the trumpets isn't just for the wilderness. This is even when you get to the land. We're going to see that in verse 9. This is going to be a perpetual statute, even when you get into the land. And here's the thing. This is going to mark you out as a people because it is who you are as a people. You're a people who do what you do as a directive from God. You follow God's word. You follow God's order. You follow God's command. You follow God's lead. And so he says, this is a perpetual statute that we're gonna do this, and I want you to understand, I have a certain time for you to come. I have a certain time for you to go, but it's based not even on your location. It's based on who you are as my people. The nature of this conflict is based on the aggressive nature of all that is opposed to God. You know, just because you belong to God, just because you belong to God, your life will be difficult. Nobody told you that when they told you you need to get saved, did they? Come to Jesus Christ. Your sins will be rolled away. It will be a brand new life. It'll be exciting. Exciting means scary. Exciting means hard. Just because you belong to Jesus Christ, you have a target on your back. And so there is reason that Romans says, not just live peaceably with all men, because that's impossible. What does it say? As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Why? Because you can't do it. Sometimes it's out of your control. Because you belong to God, your life will be difficult, and it will be difficult in 2018. Aren't you glad you came to church today to hear that encouraging message? Okay. But here's the thing, verse 9. When you go to war, even in your land, against the adversary who what? Here's the thing. The conflict isn't necessarily initiated by you. The conflict is initiated by the enemy. And so he says, understand that you're wrestling. This is a wrestling match. This is a hand-to-hand combat, and it's a day-in, day-out combat. And you get tired in the conflict. Why? Because you're fighting, because you're wrestling, because out of nowhere, behind the corner, they're looking to hijack you. They're looking to jump you. They're looking to take you down and to take you out. The devil is. The demons are. In fact, the flesh is. The world is. And he says, understand that because you belong to me, you are in a fight for your life as long as you live. Now, one day, it's done. One day, I'm going to hang up my sword and shield down by the riverside. I'm going to lay down, and I'm going to fight no more. That's a beautiful song, a beautiful old song that pictures that Christian life. But we ain't there yet. 2018 is going to be a year of spiritual struggle, of spiritual warfare, because there's an enemy who's after you to take you down, to take you out, to make your witness ineffective, to make you not bring glory to your God, to make you not love things that eternal, so that you don't set your affection on things that are above and not on things on this world. Now, the purpose in this conflict is based on the necessity of remembering our need of God. Look at verse 9 again. When you go to war in the land against the adversary who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. Verse 10 at the very end, they shall be a reminder of you, these trumpets, before your God. I am the Lord your God. Wait a minute. If Israel doesn't blow the trumpets, God doesn't remember his people? What about the high priest who goes in? He brings the incense every day before the Lord. Once a year, he goes into the Holy of Holies. He's wearing on his shoulder pieces names of the tribes carved into his shoulder pieces. On his breastplate, he's got the names of the tribes carved into the breastplate to bring the people of Israel as a remembrance before the presence of God. If I don't sound the trumpets, God's not going to remember. That's not the point. The whole point is that God does remember, and he gives us these pictures so that we remember him. It's similar to those garments on the high priest. It serves as a call for God to act on behalf of his people. It's not because otherwise he might forget to remember to help them. It's because otherwise we might forget to remember to trust him for his help. If I don't blow the trumpet, what I'm saying is, don't worry, God, I got this one. Let me fight this battle. It's mine. I'll take care of this. Okay? You know what? Sometimes God's just willing to let you do that. Sometimes if I don't, well, James says, you have not because what? You don't ask. He says, if you don't blow these trumpets, it's not that God can't help you. And in fact, sometimes he will. He's not going to allow his name to be totally decimated as a result of your stupidity. But he might let you grovel. He might let you make some big-time mistakes. He might let you just fail. And it might not feel very good. So this calling out to God isn't so much that God is going to forget. He's been watching. He's got his eye on me the whole time. But it's, he might not help if I don't ask him. He might not come to my assistance if I forget to ask, if I forget to put myself under, if I forget to submit to the fact that he is supreme and I'm not. Then he might just let me fight this battle all by myself. Have you been there? You forgot about asking God to be a part of your day? How's that go? Oh, man, I should have asked him, but I just don't have time. Just plow ahead. You know, I should take time to pray, but I really have too much to do. You know when that hits me as a pastor? When I'm preparing for a sermon. I should really stop and pray. No, I've got a sermon to prepare. Really? What an idiot. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, how'd that turn out for you? Oh, I'm so sorry, God. That was stupid. God says, it's not that I'm going to forget to help you, but you're going to forget to trust me. And I can't help you if you don't ask. Well, I can, but I won't. I won't. The wilderness journey begins an adventure not just of wandering, not just of warfare, but of worship. Because it's an adventure of worship, God's people must come together to fellowship. Look at verse 10. These trumpets shall be a perpetual statute for you on the day of your gladness also. At your appointed feast, at the beginnings of your months, you shall blow these trumpets over your burnt offerings, over your peace offerings. God says, I want you to remember, I want you to remember who you are as a people. I want you to remember how good I've been to you. So I want you to remember every single month, the beginning of a new month, a new season. This is my season, and it's my gift to you. And so I want you to blow the trumpets so you remember me. On your days of feasts, I want you to blow the trumpets. I want all the people to come in and remember that they belong to something bigger than themselves. Every month, every holiday. Don't you love? I love on Christmas Eve. You all come together. We have that candlelight service. And it's a holiday, for crying out loud. There's other things that you can be doing other than being at church. But being at church just reminds you that, listen, this holiday isn't about me. It's about something that's real for you and you and you and you. And we're doing this together. And that's what these holidays are for. These trumpets bring God's people in, reminding them that they're on a pilgrim adventure. They're beginning this adventure of wandering, of warfare. But it's all held together with the glue of worship. And you see how he ends this section, verse 11. They shall be a reminder of you before your God. How does he say it? I am the Lord your God. 2018, we can do no better than to remember those last words. I am the Lord your God. Don't forget that. I can't forget that. You can forget that. You won't forget it up here, but you know where you're going to forget it? You're going to forget it right down here. And so you need things in your life, like church on Sunday, like being a part of the warfare, the struggle, of before engaging in the battle, stopping and asking God for help, acknowledging him so he can direct your paths. But number two, oh, we did all of those things. Number two, God's people begin a journey of following information. Verse 11, in the second year, the second month, the 28th of the month, cloud lifted from over the tabernacle of the testimony. And the people of Israel set out by stages from the wilderness of Sinai. And then it doesn't tell us how many days, but it was several days' journey. And finally, the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. They set out for the first time at the command of the Lord by his servant Moses. You know, this journey is a matter of learning to follow. Don't you love it? You graduate from high school and you never have to go to school again. You thought that? You graduated? Done. Never have to do that again. And along with that, you say, I never have any more deadlines in life, right? In your mature thinking at age 18. No more teachers, no more books, no more teachers, dirty looks. You never have to read again. Is that true after you graduate? There's no more deadlines. Is that true after you graduate? I never have to obey anybody. Is that true after you graduate? Only till you get married. Okay. I'm kidding. You know what? God says, what I'm going to teach you is to learn how to follow. Because the best leaders are the best followers. The best teachers are the best learners. If you're going to do this well, God says, you're going to have to learn how to follow. The other point we're going to make is that this journey is a matter of learning not just how to follow, but where to fit. It's following where I'm supposed to follow. It's fitting where I'm supposed to fit. This journey is a matter of learning to follow. In verse 11, the cloud lifts up over the tabernacle, which we saw at the end of chapter 9 means get ready to go. Verse 13, they set out for the first time. Why? Because the cloud lifted, and it set out. So they set out. Verse 33, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them. If the Ark of the Lord is before them, where does that put them in relation to the Ark? After. Okay. Here's the beautiful thing about 2018. God doesn't call you to be a trailblazer. Whew. Praise the Lord. In fact, Dad, you don't have to be a trailblazer for your family. You have to be a trailblazer for your family, but you don't have to be a trailblazer by yourself. You have to be the first follower. Mom, you have to be the first follower for your kids. You have to be a first follower. That's the only way you can be a leader. God's the one who's out in front. All I have to do this year is follow. So where he leads me, I will. Oh, isn't that a nice song to sing? Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, part of the way. That's the one I sign up for. You're going to a place I don't want to go. Don't worry about it. Follow me. In fact, the end of the book of John, Peter says, Jesus, what about this guy? What if he lives till I come back? Really? He said, don't worry about it, Peter. You know what I want you to do? Follow me. Is it really that simple? You know what? 2018 is really this simple. Follow me. Oh, piece of cake. Or something. But you know what? If we don't go into 2018 with this as our purpose, with this as our goal, with this as our commitment, we've lost it already. Because he says, this is how simple it is. Follow me. I'm going to land you safe on the other side. Follow me. It's going to be an adventure. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be hard. Follow me. He says in verse 33, look at there, end of chapter 10, verse 33. They set out from the mount of the Lord, 3 days' journey. The Ark of the Covenant went before them, that full 3 days' journey, seeking out a rest for them. But look at verse 34. And the cloud of the Lord was where? It was over them. Remember where they are. They're in the wilderness. There's not a lot of rain in that desert. It's the Sinai Peninsula. A lot of heat, a lot of sun. What's protecting them as they go? This cloud. God gave them divine sunscreen. God provided them protection in the wilderness. He's covering them. He says, follow me. As you follow me, I'll take care of you. But only as you follow me will I take care of you. So that cloud is covering the camp of Israel, but it's only covering them when they go where God goes. If they don't go where God goes, no cloud, no cover, no protection, no presence. You've been there, doing life, not following God, where it's comfortable, where it's easy, and you lose the cover. You get scared. You send your kids off to college. Say, God, I know that's where you want them, but really? You send your grandson off to Afghanistan. God, I know that's where you want them, but really? And then you find out that the safest place for them to be is where God will be there with them. God says, yeah, this is scary. This is difficult. This is hard. But I will never leave you nor forsake you. The journey is a matter of learning to follow. The journey is a matter of learning where to fit. Though all go together, different ones go at different times. Look at verse 12. The people of Israel set out by stages. Verse 14. The people of Judah set out first. So when we come to a funeral, and 2018 probably will have a few funerals in it. We come to a funeral, I always think, man, are they lucky? They're there. They're done. They've crossed the finish line. They're with Jesus forever. Forever. Don't you feel that way? There's also the, I still have things to finish before I go. But there's still that idea of, that tug at your heartstring. You look at other people as you're doing life, you say, how come they're way ahead of me? How come they're over, how come they get to, wait a minute, God's setting us out at different stages in our journey. They'll all go together, different ones go at different times. They'll all go together, different ones have different purposes. Judah leads the charge by following God's lead. He gets to go first. And then it's the Gershonites and the Merarites. They're the ones who carried the tabernacle. But part of carrying the tabernacle, verse 17, is verse 21, setting up the tabernacle when they arrive. So they've got this job of carrying the tabernacle, setting up the tabernacle, so that the Kohathites, verse 21, can carry the holy things. The Gershonites, the Merarites, tear everything down. They give the holy things to the Kohathites. They start bagging them up. Well, they take off. These guys finish their job. They find their position in line. They step right in the middle of the entire encampment with the holy things, other than the ark, which is out front. It means they've got the altars. It means they've got the candle, the candelabra. It means they've got the table of showbread. They're carrying these things right in the middle of the camp. And when they get where they're supposed to go, tabernacle's all set up so that they can bring in the furniture and set that up. And then at the very end, Judah takes the lead. At the back comes Dan. And look how it says in verse 25 what Dan's job is. Verse 25, he says, so that they can act as the rear guard. So that they don't lose, so that they keep the eyesight out for any enemies on the back, their tail quarters. They're the guys who are really important as they're working through the wilderness. It's easy for Judah. Yeah, he's going to face the foe first, but God's going to get there before Judah ever does. Poor old Dan, he's way in the back, but he's got an important job. It's not like he's forgotten or he's less important. He's on the back. He's walking kind of like this, making sure that the enemy doesn't get to the rest of the camp. He's acting as the rear guard. Everybody goes together, but they go at different stages. Everybody goes together. They all have different jobs. They all go together. They all have different ranks. You're going to see in verse 14, 15, 16, 18, 19, 20, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. And over their company was, and we read all those names, and over their company was, that means there's some who are in charge and there's some who are not. Oh, it's always more fun when you're in charge, isn't it? Isn't it, Mom? It's always more fun to be in charge. I wish somebody else was in charge. Dad, husband, it's always so much more fun to be in charge, to get tasked with the decision-making, isn't it? Hannah, it's always so much fun to be in charge when the twins are given to you as your responsibility for the day, isn't it? Okay. Being in charge means being held responsible. Being in charge means being held accountable. You know what? Sometimes we want a different rank, don't we? Man, if I were president, if I were in charge, you ever say that? If I were in charge, things would look different. Yeah, they would. He says, you know what? I want you to learn to follow, and I want you to learn where you fit. Because in verse 28, he says that this is how they all go. They go together. This was the order of their march as a single people by their different companies. But it was all by the direction of God. Number three, God's people begin a journey of both anticipation and dependence. We come to this story of Hobab. I do like the name just because it's fun to say, but I'm just glad it's not mine. He's the brother-in-law, it seems, of Moses. And there's some different understanding of translation on this, whether he's the father-in-law, which is another name for Reuel or Jethro, or whether he's the brother-in-law. It seems like he's the brother-in-law of Moses. The word probably means one who's married in. So here's this brother-in-law of Moses. And as Moses is getting ready to step out for the first time on this journey, he says, "Yo, Hobab, come here. Hey, why don't you go with us? Because you know what's going to happen? We're going to a place that's out of this world. We're going to a place that God's promised us. Yes, there's going to be a journey. It's going to be a long journey. It's going to be a hard journey. It's going to be a hot journey. Oh, yeah, there might be some enemies along the way. But listen, it's going to be great. You got to come with. Because where we're going is awesome." You see what he says there? He's talking to Hobab, verse 27 or 29. "We are setting out for the place which the Lord has said, I will give it to you. Hobab, come with us. Come with us." Let me ask you something. 2018, you're on a journey. You're on a journey. Come with us. We're going to the place that the Lord said, I'm going to give it to you. 2018, you're going to be that many steps closer to the promised land. In 2018, do you think there's nobody in your life that you can say, "Hey, why don't you come with me? Why don't you come with me on this journey?" Let's ask, 2017, was there anybody in your life that you did this for? You said, "Hey, Hobab, why don't you come with me?" How'd you do it in 2017? Inviting others to come along. Did you lose a little bit of your evangelistic zeal throughout 2017? When things started hurting you and you started losing focus of the big picture, you started just focusing on yourself, did you lose some of that evangelistic zeal? You know what? Here's a new beginning. And part of beginning well, part of doing this journey well, is inviting others to be a part of the journey. Because he says, look it, come with us, we'll do good to you, because God has promised to do good to Israel. Moses is excited. He's like a kid in a candy store at this point. He can hardly keep from doing a happy dance. He's 80 years old, but he's all jittery and just jazzed. He's ready to go. Hobab, you come with us. It's like the day after Christmas. Mom, Grandpa and Grandma come, they visit, and all of a sudden the kids latch onto their hands and say, "Hey, come, I want you to see my new present. Look what I got." Moses is that little kid who's grabbing Hobab's hand and saying, come, look what I got. Why don't you come and get it too? Have you lost some of that zeal? Have you lost sight some of the big picture? What a good time for us to regain that perspective. He says, we're setting out to the place that God promised to give to us. God's promised to do good. What does Hobab tell him in verse 30? Whole lot of words that just mean one simple word. No. No. So look what Moses says, verse 31. "Tough luck for you, dude." That how he answered him? "What do you mean, no? What's wrong with you? You can't say no. You got to come." Anybody ever tell you, "I'm not interested in your Jesus. I'm not interested in your God. I'm not interested in your heaven"? Okay, wouldn't want to be you. See you later. No! Ask again. Tell him again. And again. And again. I keep praying that God changes their mind. Now, we're never told what Hobab answers. But we come up to the book of I believe it's Judges, chapter 4, and we find that there's Kenites living with Israel. The tribe that Hobab represent. It seems as though they're living on the outskirts, but they're a part of the people of God. And so it seems like he said yes. But here's Moses. He's excited. He'll not take no for an answer. He's inviting people to be a part of the journey. You know what? 2018 is going to be wretched if we're only fighting our own battles and we're only enjoying life together. Because that's not what we're designed for. We're designed to bring other people in. Not to Valley View, though that's an obvious place to bring them. So they hear God's word, so they're exposed to other people of God, so we can have conversations about God. But bringing others in to the people of God, bringing others in to the word of God, bringing others in to experience the Spirit of God. Because this journey isn't just about us. Praise God, he's going to take us to where he's going to take us. But our purpose, our function as the people of God is to be a blessing to others, to get others to praise this God with us. The second thing is they invite God's powerful presence. The end of this story, verse 35. So whenever the ark set out, Moses said, "Arise, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you." Look at those words at the beginning of verse 35. And whenever the ark set out. So the kids don't sleep very well on the run. In fact, moms and dads have to take a break probably at the end of 18 hours. So if they're packing up camp, traveling, at the end of the time, they're going to have to sleep sometime. When they sleep, God stops. He sets up camp. In the morning, he gets them up and moves them out. That means, how often is Moses saying this prayer in front of the people? "Arise, O Lord, let your enemies flee before you." If God stops so they can sleep and they can rest, gets them up and moves. He's doing this almost every day. Almost every day. Okay, Moses, yeah. Thank you for your grand theatrical stage presence there, but we got it, right? No, you don't get it. If we're going again, we can't go without him. Because if he doesn't go, we can't go. If he doesn't work, it's not going to work for us. So every single day, he's reminding the people that we got to do what we do as the people of God, by the power of this God, in the presence of this God, for the glory of this God. Not just when they go out, but verse 36, and when it rested, he said, "Lord, come back. Be with us. Rest in the midst of your people." And again, there's some translation differences here, but it might even be translated, "Return, O Lord, as the 10,000 thousands of Israel." God, we're a whole crowd of people, but we're nothing without you. And even when we're together, we're still nothing without you because you're the one who makes us the majority. God, go with us. God, go with us. As we go into 2018, it's important for us to remember that we're summoned to a pilgrimage of wandering to places you've never gone, a pilgrimage of warfare, battles that you wouldn't choose to fight, but a pilgrimage of worship that keeps God in front of us as our God. It reminds us that who we are as his people. We need to remember that God's people begin a journey of following information, learning to follow, learning to fit in something bigger than ourselves. That's why families are so important. Because we have to say no to one so that we can say yes to all. Learning to fit in that bigger picture. And then God's people begin a journey of anticipation and continual dependence. They're starting out. Things are going to be different. Well, no, they're going to be the same. They're going to be the same as they've been for the last year and a half as God has called them out to be his own, as God's brought them into his presence to have fellowship, as God's provided them manna day by day, as God's provided them water from the rock. Things are going to be the same. Just the terrain's going to be different. We're learning to follow. New Year's are a good time to evaluate. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? How are we going to get this done? And if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. It's worth doing by following our God. Let's pray.